Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office, taking on another CRC position statement, this time capital punishment.
Yes, capital punishment. Before we read the position statement, do you have a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Before we read?
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Okay, I would agree with that. So shall we read the position statement and see if the CRC is in agreement with us?
Yeah. The CRC has declared that modern states are not obligated by scripture, creed, or principle to institute and practice capital punishment. It does, however, recognize that scripture acknowledges the right of modern states to institute and practice capital punishment if it is exercised with utmost restraint.
Should we stop there?
Yeah.
So in essence, that first part says that capital punishment is not mandated to be in alignment with scripture when it comes to...
States are not obligated by scripture.
They're not obligated
to practice capital punishment.
So capital punishment is not a mandate. It is a... But it is saying that capital punishment is a viable option to be used with extreme discernment. Is that a fair way of saying
it? Okay, I see. Yep. Got it. A study, or this is continuing on, a study report adopted by Synod in 1981 states that capital punishment should pertain only to those exceptional instances as are called forth by a substantial threat to the foundation and structure of a free and responsible democratic society, and thus to the safety and welfare of the people, and that the administration of justice should be surrounded with such safeguards as will tend maximally to preserve and enhance life. The report concluded, given that human life is sacred, that the magistrate is fallible, that time for repentance is desirable, and that imprisonment will normally satisfy the demand for justice, it is not desirable that capital punishment be routinely inflicted upon persons guilty of murder in the first degree. Only under exceptional circumstances should the state resort to capital punishment. Okay, I see. The argument they're making is it's not eye for an eye. So if you commit murder, you don't get the chair.
Right.
It's not a chair anymore, I don't think. But
right.
But if your crimes are heinous as to cause a sanctity of life issue for the rest of the society,
yeah,
then capital punishment is an option.
As
an effort to maximize the sanctity of human life. So it's a little bit like just war theory, right?
Sure.
Where we say we'll take out a dictator because it protects the life of millions of constituents.
It's the argument for the greater good.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at that first sentence you read in the second part. Capital punishment should pertain only to those exceptional instances as are called forth by a substantial threat to the foundation and structure of a free and responsible democratic society. You know, I don't find statements like that terribly helpful.
Well, because got a lot of problems there.
Because, you know, okay, what constitutes a large enough threat? You know, who are we to determine? I mean, who gets to say?
Yeah, what is an exceptional instance?
Right. That's not helpful because we have no way of defining what that is. Obviously, if it happens to me, if somebody puts one of my family members in safety, that's certainly an exceptional circumstance to me. But, you know, how do we determine that?
Yeah, is there some table that's like, if you kill five people, that's not enough. If you kill six people, it is.
Yeah.
But if you kill five people and you desecrate the body, then it is enough. Like what's exceptional?
Right.
How it happened, how many times it happened. Right, so that's my first problem there. The second problem is, as are called forth by a substantial threat to the foundation and structure of a free and responsible democratic society. So this is all an effort to protect democracy.
Well,
because I don't think that's what we're called to do in scripture either.
In essence, I think what they're hedging against is you know, forms of government that are characterized by tyranny are going to have completely different standards in terms of when to exercise lethal force. And so I think there's an assumption here that the more democratic a society is, the closer to an ideal society we have.
Well, I'm in favor of democracy.
Right. And I don't think it's using democracy as a, I guess, as a strict definition of form of government. I think it's the more democratic a society is to be desired. You know what I mean? And yeah. In that context, this is where this theory is going to work best.
I don't know why. So if we keep reading, given that human life is sacred, amen, 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 amen. Right? That's something we champion when it comes to abortion, and I'm going to champion it here. Mm-hmm. All life is sacred from the very beginning to the very end. So given that human life is sacred, love it. The magistrate is fallible. So in other words,
justice.
Sometimes the judge makes the wrong decision.
Yep.
Okay? So we don't want to put a guy up for capital punishment when, hey, we might have made a mistake. There's a chance that we human, fallible people made a mistake.
It's happened, yeah.
So given that human life is sacred, the magistrate is fallible, time for repentance is desirable. So we don't want to take away someone's opportunity to repent and be drawn to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not us to decide that. And that imprisonment will normally satisfy the demand for justice. If our argument in favor of capital punishment is, well, we need to remove this threat to society, why wouldn't imprisonment satisfy the removal of that threat to society?
Yeah, I completely agree. Especially,
I mean, in what instance is imprisoning someone who's a guilty, vile offender not going to protect the life of the people outside the prison?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, maybe at one point, incarcerating people was less dependable, less feasible for society to do based on resources or whatever.
If people could escape, you mean?
Escape, resources, you know. Obviously, it costs something for a society to be that. Having people incarcerated because they need to be cared for, at least basically.
Now you're putting a dollar amount on someone's head.
Right, but what I'm saying is that's not...
Is he worth my tax dollars to keep alive?
That's not an issue here.
You could make that... I know.
All I'm saying is I look at different points in history, different forms of government, different parts of the world. It's not as sure of a thing. It's not as feasible of a thing, perhaps, but in our society, I think it definitely is very feasible to keep someone isolated in order to keep the rest of the population safe. There's not an excuse that, oh boy, it's either kill somebody or it's, you know, they're going to have free reign to wreak havoc in people's lives. That's not the choice that we have in our society.
One thing I want to caution against, I saw a Ted Bundy documentary.
Mm.
And Ted Bundy got the chair for his awful, awful, awful crimes. And people were outside the jailhouse with like signs saying, have fun in hell, Bundy, mm-hmm. stuff like that, and just cheering and drinking and partying at the death of this man. Saying nothing to encourage what he did or how he acted. The fact that we would celebrate someone's death and possibly their descent to hell is awful.
Right.
That we should do that with a heavy heart is what I'm asking for.
Yeah. Do you think that Scripture, Old and New Testament, do you think that they put their stamp of approval on capital punishment?
Old Testament, maybe. But the grace offered us at the cross, extended grace beyond what we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that changed some of that for us post-cross.
Okay.
So I don't know that New Testament we see any argument for capital punishment.
Okay. Would you argue that based on the New Testament that this is something that is in Paul's words, permissible but not necessarily beneficial? Or would you say that according to the New Testament...
Make a case for me why it's permissible.
Well, I'm thinking about the Romans 13, verse 4 reference that, you know, the government is armed with the sword for this purpose, for the purpose of, in essence, maintaining authority. And of course, unless it's some sort of a common phrase of the time that Paul is using, the sword represents the threat of death to me.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with what the verse is addressing.
Yeah, it's in a section embedded on be obedient to the authorities that God has placed over your life, governmentally speaking.
But there are instances where we reject the laws and the authority of the government.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a case for...
The sanctity of human life issues is one right. that we protest often.
I'm just... Maybe that doesn't clear things up the way I want them to.
It
so
might.
You're saying New Testament-wise, the New Testament would condemn the exercise of a state using capital punishment. Now, I'm in total agreement with you that it is outside of the perfection of Christ.
Right.
But, you know, is Paul talking about, well, these are the realities of the world, or is Paul saying that this is actually a good deterrent to antisocial or harmful behavior?
Maybe he is.
Yeah.
Maybe that verse is an argument for it.
However, just circling back to where you started, if we are going to be passionate about sanctity of life from conception, I think the most consistent scriptural view that we should take is that we would be proponents of the sanctity of life at the end of life as well,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what that end looks like.
Yeah. And that's where I am.
Yeah.
Whenever we can protect life, I think that's one of the things that are paramount to what we're called to do.
And God reaches the most unlikely cases sometimes.
Right, yeah.
And I don't want to be the one that's hindering that.
Yeah.
By my views or by my behavior.
Well, we'll continue to wrestle this one out. We've got some interesting ones coming up in the next weeks. See you then.